Well, I don't know about you, but Christmas has snuck up on me. I mean, I know it's been coming. I see all the decorations, but the weather, it just doesn't seem like Christmas up until this weekend. And, you know, if you're a person that likes snow, you might want to take a picture of it because you're probably not going to have it on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. But I don't know if it's just I don't feel that Christmas-y or ish right now because of just the warmth. I mean, it said, what, 45, 50 degrees next week too? I mean, I love that. But Christmas is just a great time, isn't it? It's a wonderful time. It's about opening gifts, right? And it's about getting and receiving gifts. Who likes to get gifts? You liars, come on. You know, first of all, you need to confess right now because everybody likes to get gifts, don't you? Well, I got a couple gifts this morning because, you know, one thing that that I love, I really love to give gifts. It's kind of a fun thing. And Vinny, this has your name written all over it, so you'll enjoy that. And I was going through, I think it's Myers, and there's a friend of mine. She loves Minions. And as soon as I saw them, I couldn't help but get her some Minions. And I know Ryan's back here because Ryan really loves ugly sweaters. And so you have some ugly sweater. You got a nice sweater today. So okay. All right. But that's their thing. But it's fun to give gifts, isn't it? I just neglected this whole half. I'm sorry. You know, you didn't get anything. But it's fun to give them. But I have a problem. I don't know how to receive them very well. I don't know. Maybe I'm just awkward. I passed it on to my daughter, you know, and my other kids. It's like all of a sudden you get a gift and it's like, I don't know how to respond. I might be excited inside and going, this is the most awesome thing in the world, but I just can't get it out. I'm just like, oh, thank you. And, you know, maybe it's just awkward. And, you know, and I love giving gifts and making my wife really uncomfortable because every year we agree not to get presents for each other. So what do? I get her presents. And it's usually something that she's wanted. But I didn't do it this year because we do have a pack because we have new appliances. So, you know, that's our Christmas gift. So, but it's a fun time of year. But as you think about Christmas, one of the things is you got to think about the Christmas story. And what I want us to do this morning is not just go through the motion and make it something that's so familiar. Because the Christmas story, it's not a story. It's something that actually happened in history. God came into the world when the world was broken, full of darkness, when there was busyness, when there was loneliness. And he did something. And that changed the world forever. Those words that were spoke in the middle of the night changed the way everybody views God. And in fact, it gave us the ability to have a relationship with God. And so when we hear this story, I don't want you to just think it's a story, but it's something that happened in history. And I know many of you have heard it 100 times, 1,000 times or more. But this morning, can we just do something? Can we pretend? Can we just pretend that we're kids again? Can we just pretend that we've never heard the story and get rid of the familiarity of it and go back into the wonder of it? Because these words that we're about to read this morning are the greatest words that humanity has ever heard. And these words are all that we need. We don't need any more than these words this morning. And the message that I'm going to bring you this morning are in these words. And it's a powerful moment in time. And if you have your Bibles, if you want to open up to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. So let's just be amazed with these words this morning. And let's just hear what God has to say. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And we're going to skip to verse 3. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I love that Luke says that. I love that Luke shows us that Christmas wasn't just like a quiet little peaceful thing that was happening and everybody was holding hands and everybody was just sipping on their tea and stuff. It was a crazy time and people were terrified. These shepherds, all of a sudden, they're out there tending their flocks in the darkness. All of a sudden, an angel appears to them. Come on. I mean, that's going to shock you, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you guys. Have you seen angels? Most of you probably not. Most of us. But this angel shows up, and these shepherds are like going, whoa, we're trembling. We're terrified. And not only does an angel show up, but it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And one version said that the Shekinah glory of God, I mean, God in his full glory was there. And they were just trembling being in the presence of that kind of glory, in the presence of that kind of God, and an angel speaking to them. I mean, can you just imagine that moment? Can you imagine the fear that they must be feeling and going, we're overwhelmed. We don't know what to do. And then as the angel speaks, he keeps telling them, you know, that there's some incredible news coming. But you got to pause for a moment. You remember the shepherds? Do you know what their profession was? It's right in the name. They tended sheep. You know, in their culture, they were the lowest of lows. They were so considered so unclean that they couldn't go to the temple. And it was because of their type of work that they did. They couldn't go worship God there. And they were the ones who actually raised the sheep so that would go down to the temples and they would sacrifice them. But their culture said, you're the lowliest of lows. You're not worthy. But God says, I'm bringing my message to the lowliest of lows. The outcast. The people that our culture would just cast out and say, you're not worth it. And he says, I'm going to give you the greatest message. And I'm going to share the greatest news that's ever been shared with the world with you. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Well, duh. You know, don't be afraid. I think I would have said, why not? I mean, you just picture that moment. Wouldn't you want to know why not to be afraid? And the angel goes, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That is got to be the best introduction, the best line ever spoken to humanity. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. I love the message of Christmas. What God was getting ready to do, it wasn't for a select group of people, but it was for all people, his message. And this message is such a powerful message that it changes lives. And this message is something that the world needs to hear again. That there's good news. And it's great joy. And it's that good news that brings the great joy. You know, this morning, what I just have to ask, if you're not feeling joyful, or you don't have joy in you, and you're kind of going, you know, I'm just kind of getting through life, and life is, oh, it's so overwhelming, and I can't believe this is coming against me. You have to have joy if you know the good news. The joy that I'm talking about is not like, oh, you got a little bit of laughter here, or something good happened, so you're happy. This joy that I am talking about is so deeply rooted in you that there is nothing in this world, there's not a circumstance, a situation, or anything that can ever snuff this joy out. And you have to do an evaluation. I think there's an equation that we can see here. If you do not have great joy, maybe you have disconnected from the good news. You got off focus. You got busy into the world. You believe what culture tells you. You just have so many activities going on that you disconnected from this incredible message. Because the incredible message of Christmas is that God came into the world and the message is for all people and they will have the good news of great joy. And look at what the angel says this incredible news is in verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's all I need to say this morning, isn't it? Today, God comes into history on that day and says, a Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord, and He brings good news, and He brings a joy that cannot be snuffed out by anything in this world. And then the angel continues to talk and says, okay, to the shepherds in verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now just get this. I mean, they're already trembling. They're already afraid. They just saw an angel. They have the glory of God shining around them. And now look what happens. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. I mean, this has got to be just an incredible moment. I mean, all of a sudden, the sky is full of a host of angels singing at the top of their lungs and voices that we can only imagine, thunderous, going, glory to God in the highest. And peace is going to come to mankind because God favors you. In other words, God wants to bless us. God wants to give us His Son. And then these shepherds are like going, okay, well, why don't we go see if this has actually happened? Which I want to say, duh. I mean, after an angel shows up and the whole glory of God shows up and then you have an army of angels show up, you think you'd go check this out, right? So they get up and they go. This is verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to him. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And then verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and they seen, which were just as they had been told. These shepherds got to see everything. The angels told them that there was going to be a baby in a manger. Now, this manger, you got to keep in mind, it's not a sanitary manger like you and I will put out on Christmas. It wasn't a manger like you see in this little setting here. It wasn't like your barn at home. It's nice and tidy. This was probably a cave outside of Bethlehem that was the manger, full of manure from years of use. And the shepherds probably would have took fires in there and took refuge in there when there's a storm coming, and there's probably smoke stain from the fires that they would have created. It was a dirty place. And the Savior was born there. And these guys go away going, God, you are awesome. God, you are amazing. I've seen it with my own eye, what you have said come true. There's good news of great joy, and it's for all people. The Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. I mean, they are so excited. And this is the heart of Christmas, isn't it? That a Savior has been born. And the news that I carry to you this morning is that a Savior has been born. And He brings good news with great joy. Isn't that the message of the church? Isn't that what we should be carrying out into the world, is this message that no matter how dark and how difficult this world is, there is something greater, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord who brings great joy. He brings salvation to those who place their trust in Him. That's the message. That's what Christmas should be like. These words, I mean, just think about these words. They were spoken into the darkness. They're spoken into the silence of the night. Powerful words that change people's lives. Powerful words, the most beautiful words ever said to humankind. God loves you enough to bring His Son in a baby form and to let Him walk this earth and then to sacrifice Him for you. That's great joy. Nothing in the world can take that away from you. And you have the other words in history that were said. You know, the story has been read throughout history time and time again. And this truth is we stand on this truth time and time again. And generation after generation, we hear this story, and it's the most profound truth that we could ever hear. We really don't even need the rest of the Bible, do we? Because of that message. But God wants us to know Him, His whole heart. And so you have in history these words going out into the darkness. But 103 years ago, the very words that you and I read this morning, they went out into the darkness of night too. Maybe you've ever heard of Reginald Fessenden. Ever hear of him? He's the guy who created the AM radio. When he was about 12 years old, he heard of, you know, that they had the Morse code that was sent across wires. And at 12 years old, he asked the question, why do they need wires? And his whole life he devoted to creating a system where they could get that Morse code out into the ocean and so that the captains could hear these messages that are coming. And he developed the AM radio and this transatlantic, you'd have this moment where as they're going across the Atlantic, the captains could get whatever message of their storms coming or brewing. But he still had in his heart that it was more than that. That he could actually speak into a microphone that he created, but he didn't call a microphone. And that he could speak into it, and the human voice would go through that. Do you know in 1906, the first words were uttered on the radio? And the story that we just read was the very first story that hit the radio waves into the darkness of night. Just picture being a captain on a ship. It's dark, and you have this little box that you normally hear, tap, 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 tap. And somebody translates it. All of a sudden, out of this box, you hear, hello, test, 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, they had to be freaking out. They'd be going, what is this thing? Is it possessed? I mean, we got to throw this thing overboard because it's talking to us. Well, Reginald decided he wanted to do something for those captains and sailors that were out on the oceans and in the dark of the night. And he wanted to give them a message. And so he kind of had a little plan for a service. And he played a song, and then he played a Silent Night on his violin because he's an accomplished musician. And then they had this whole plan for it to unfold. And then it got to the point where his wife and his secretary were supposed to read this Christmas story. And they froze. They couldn't even speak into the mic. And he kind of jumps in and he grabs the Bible and he starts reading those words. And he's reading those words into the darkness. And can you just imagine the captains and the sailors going, what an incredible story, because they're looking under the heavens. And they hear, I bring you good news of great joy, and it's for all the people. A Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. Words uttered into the darkness that have changed lives. There are other words in history that have changed lives, and maybe you're familiar with the Apollo 8 mission. I want you to hear what they shared with the world on a Christmas Eve when they were sharing this from the moon.
Current now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. in the evening and the morning when the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. And divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. But God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you.
When I saw that, I just thought, can you imagine from the moon seeing this little blue ball and starting to think that we have a God that is so big that he created that? And these words that go out into the darkness, they change the hearts of mankind. These words in Genesis tell us some incredible things. They tell us that God was the creator of the world. So it tells us that the Word, which is Jesus Christ, is there in the creation, creating with God. And the Spirit of God is there creating. I love this because it tells us that before the earth was formed, before the foundations of the earth, God and Jesus got together. And they said, we're going to create something so beautiful. Earth. And then we're going to create something that's even more beautiful, and we're going to make them in our image, humankind. And then he says, by the way, son, this creation, they're going to turn their backs on us. Even though we made them, they're going to turn their backs and they're going to sin. And he says, so here's the plan. At some point in history that I choose, you're going to come into the world as a baby. You're going to step out of the heavenly realms, give up all that glory, and you're going to be surrounded with human skin. You're going to take on humanity. And then you're going to grow up there for 30-odd years, and then you're going to be crucified on a cross for their sins so I can redeem them. So I can have a relationship with my creation. I mean, that's staggering, isn't it? That on Christmas Eve is really about God carrying out his redemption plan, about God saying, I planned this before the creation. I knew this was going to happen. And I'm going to speak into the darkness because it is a dark world. It is a place that is filled with trouble. It is a place that is filled with disappointment. And I'm going to step into it. Fully God, but taking on the form of a baby. Maybe you didn't realize that the Bible, during the Bible is kind of broken up, and at the end of the Old Testament, you have the what they call the minor prophets, and in Malachi, or I've heard people say Malachi, I'm not sure where they get that from, but it's there's kind of the last prophet there. You flip the page, and then you got a blank page. In mine, it says the New Testament, and then I got another blank page, and then all of a sudden, you start the Christmas story. That's not how it happened in history, though. You know that? In history, for 400 years, God did not speak. God did not utter a word to a people who depended on him, a people that he chose. He didn't send a prophet to speak to him. And I can just imagine just sitting around, you know, and having your child say, hey, Dad, have you heard from God in a while? Nope. Did Grandpa hear from Dad? From God? Nope. How about great-grandpa? Nope. Great-great-great-great-great-great-great. Did any of them hear from God? No. 400 years, we haven't. And I can just imagine this is what they could be thinking. They could be thinking that maybe God has forgotten them. Maybe they could be thinking that God is dead because, I mean, he's not speaking. Nothing's happening here. Maybe you've experienced it in your relationships with your spouse, the husband and wife, that you just don't speak. and you think that the other person is mad, and you know how that feels? And maybe that's what they're thinking, that God is just mad. He's so mad, he's not saying a thing. Or maybe they're thinking that maybe God doesn't have anything to say. But it's silent. It's lonely. And they're wondering where God is. But the story tells us that God was moving. They couldn't see the plan. It was much bigger than them. It was bigger than they could even imagine. And I can't help but just be in awe and say wow about Christmas Eve. Because you know how God chose to speak to us for the very first time after 400 years? A baby's cry. A baby's cry into the silence of the night in the dark world. That's how he chooses to speak. He sends his son wrapped in human flesh, full of deity, fully God, into this world to take on our humanity. I mean, if I was God, I think I would kind of, if I was silent for 400 years, I would have stood up and said, okay, everybody listen. I'm getting ready to do a great thing. Pay attention. I'm going to give you the biggest oration that you've ever heard and the best one. I'm going to give you the best speech. I'm going to give you the best declaration. I'm just going to blow you away. But instead he goes, a baby's cry. And that baby's cry is the beginning of the salvation plan for mankind. That's why Christmas is so awesome. Christmas is not awesome because of a Christmas tree, because of presents, giving and getting them. It's because we have the greatest gift offered to us, and that is the Son of God offered on your behalf to pay for your sins. And you don't have to do anything for it. You just have to receive it. I am so glad that angel didn't just come in and go, this is what you got to do to get salvation. You got to be better. You got to do more things. You got to get your life together. And if you do more good deeds and bad deeds, you'll be able to get in. He never said that. The angel said, I bring you good news that is for all people. And that good news is that a Savior has been born. And he is Christ the Lord. And all you have to do is receive it. You just accept it. And then you let him change you from the inside out. He does all the work. What a beautiful thing God does. He sees our need. He sees the craziness of what's going on. I mean, we tend to think Christmas was just this little quiet journey. It was a little quiet time. But when we look at the Christmas story, we got to see the craziness going on. Life is crazy. Life is difficult. Life is unpredictable. Don't you think Joseph and Mary understood that? Joseph and Mary, if you remember their story, is they're pledged to each other, meaning that they're supposed to get married. But all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant. And boy, do they have a whopper of a story. And some of you probably wish you could come up with this story and would use this story. They say that to people after she's getting pregnant, that an angel of the Lord appeared to me. And the angel said that the Holy Spirit was going to come over me and I would become pregnant, the Savior of the world. And I'm sure people were like going, oh, yeah, right. Nice one. Good. They were going on a journey from their hometown to Bethlehem on a donkey with a lot of controversy, a lot of baggage, and in a very, very busy time. Think of when God decided to speak to us. Do you know what day it was? Tax day. He speaks in the craziness of the world and the craziness of what's going on. They're going to their hometown to register for taxes, basically. I don't know about you, but on tax day, it's a crazy day at my house. I mean, we might have our tax prepared ahead of time, but there's no way I'm cutting that check until 11 p.m. because I don't want that government to have my money. And so it's just crazy. You're running in all kinds of directions. It's stressful. It's overwhelming. And God chooses to speak into our world for the very first time that day. Mary and Joseph. They get to their hometown. There's no place for them to stay. So they go to a manger. A dirty manger. And I'm sure Mary, all the way while she was on the donkey, was praying this prayer. God, please. God, please, 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 please. Don't let me give birth here. I'm away from my mom. I'm away from my in-laws. I'm away from everybody that I know. And I'm in this dirty manger. God, please, please. I'm sure Joseph's going, God, here's my one prayer. Don't let her give birth here. God doesn't answer that prayer, does he? She gives birth. See, God moves in the crazy of times. You see, Mary's prayer might not have been answered, but he was moving. He was answering what he said he was going to do. He was going to redeem mankind. Even though Mary couldn't see him working, she was giving birth to the Savior of the world that would one day save her too. See, God doesn't always answer our prayers, which I'm sure that was her prayer. But he's always working. And it's in the craziest of times. There's another part of the creation story that I would just want to kind of bridge here real quick and just share it with you, just real quick. And it comes out of John chapter 1, because I think it's beautiful when you put these together, because you can see the fullness of what God did. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now you notice it said capital W-O-R-D. That's Jesus. It should read, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God." You see, when God chose to speak to the world for the very first time, you know what the word was? Jesus. Because Jesus is the heart of God. Jesus speaks for God. Jesus reveals who God is and who the Father is. And if he wanted to come into the world and just give us a word like this, which is a powerful word, he could have done that. But he chose to say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is the answer that you're looking for, he says. And I love what John kind of goes on and he says in verse 2, he says, "He was with God." Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In other words, Jesus involved in the creation. Jesus holding it all together, holding all these lives together. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And if you jump down to verse 14 with me, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And let me tell you, when God was coming into the world, he understood his son needed to be full of grace and truth, because when he came into this world needed all the grace that God could give it. And he had to come with truth. And when he came with truth, it shook the world. It shook the foundations. And it's still shaking it today. His grace is so full that it covers every single man's sin who will confess him as their Savior. His grace says that you're not too far away. His grace says that those addictions are not big. He can overcome them. His grace says that you are not abandoned. His grace says it's enough for your current situation, because he's full of grace. God, Jesus was not afraid of our humanity. He doesn't like our sin, doesn't like what we do. But he put on our humanity. He became us. And I think it was God's way of saying, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to show you. I want to show you the glory that I have. 400 years of silence. God speaks. Jesus into the world. A new day is dawning. I love what the message says, or how it says that, that last verse where the verse that we read says Jesus became flesh. I love what this one says. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God moved into our world because he knew that there was a gap. There was a separation between him and us that we could not bridge. So he moved into your neighborhood. He moved into your life right now. Wherever you find yourself, he is there. He is in you. He is with you. That's the incredible message of Christmas. Not only God came into the world, Emmanuel, with us, but he is God in us now. That is the great, great joy and the good news that we have. Now, this, some of you are celebrating Christmas, and you guys have been having a good year. Maybe you're the person where your job has been going well. You've got all your Christmas shopping done. You don't have to go to Myers. Thank goodness, stay away from it. You got your families all together. There's peace in the family. You already got the dinner planned. And life is going really good for you. Merry Christmas from all of us. We're glad and we're happy for you. But the reality about Christmas is, and the reality about that first Christmas, most of the lives are crazy. Most of our lives have a lot of pain. Most of our lives have a lot of darkness. And some of you, for the first time, you're celebrating Christmas, and you're celebrating it without a loved one. Somebody who you've loved and cherished passed away. And it's a difficult time. Some of you have lost a job, don't know how you're going to make it through the holidays. Some of you, this is going to be your first year without your spouse because your spouse has said, I don't love you anymore. And they're walking away, or they've walked away. You see, Christmas is messy, isn't it? But when Jesus came, he came full of grace and truth. He came to tell you this. The glory of God is shining around you right now. God's favor is on you in spite of what is going on in this world. God is saying through Christmas, I love you and I'm still working it out. But I've prayed this single prayer for the last 10 years and he hasn't answered. In fact, it's went over to here. Mary's prayer was not answered. But God was working. Your prayer might not be answered, but trust me, God is working. God is going to get you through. His grace is full, and he's full of truth. You see, this is what I love about Christmas. God understood the world is messy. God understood that it was dark and it needed a Savior. So he took the action. And I love this old hymn, and we sung it this morning, which is incredible. How a Holy Night! I love that. If any Christmas song, that is the Christmas song, okay? Because it speaks to what was going on at Christmas. It says the stars were brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. The world is groaning. The world is aching. The world is mourning their sin. And you're not the first one who has been mourning. You're not the first one that has been hurting. The whole world has been hurting. It's just laying there in sin and error pining. And then it says, till he appears and the soul felt its worth. You see, our soul does not feel its worth through relationships, by having the right friends, by having all the presents, by having money, by having all the things of this world. Our soul will never, ever feel satisfied until we come to this conclusion that God gave a Savior to us. Until we come to the conclusion and we accept that gift, then our soul will feel its worth. And what happens? There's a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Do you know what God was saying on Christmas? He came to bring a new and glorious morn to your life. No matter what darkness you may find yourself in, what circumstance, there's a new horizon dawning, and it is Christ, the Savior. He is the good news of great joy. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion. I think it's appropriate at Christmas because God speaks into a world that is hurting. And he says, I want to save them, but I got to give my son, the baby, up. And I got to sacrifice him and shed his blood. And Jesus comes on the scene and he lives a perfect life. And he sits down with his disciples and he tells them that I want you to do this meal. And whenever you do this meal, I want you to do it in remembrance of me. This morning, what we're going to celebrate is we're celebrating that Christmas Day, God spoke into the world and started his redemption plan. A Savior born to you, to the whole world. And then there was a Savior, Jesus Christ, that was crucified for your sins. And not only crucified, he died and was placed in a tomb and he arose. And there's the hope that we look forward to. He says, I want you to do this meal until I return. He arose, he's ascended, he sits at the right hand of the Father right now, and at the right time, he's going to come back into history, and he's going to take those people who have accepted him as their Savior again. And they're going to be with him forever. That's what we're celebrating about this meal. We have that ability because of Christmas, because of Christ being born. If you're a believer, I invite you to take part in this, whether you're a guest or first time here. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can take part in this. If you don't, all you have to do is something real simple, is reach out. All you have to do is accept the gift that God has offered and say that you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. And he will enter in and he will teach you, he will live in you, and you'll have eternal life with him. If you say that simple prayer to yourself, you're welcome because you're part of the family of God at this point. But I just like to read these words that Paul says. He says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same way, after supper, he took a cup saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And this is important for those who believe. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So what I would ask this morning, that before you take communion, if you know you have sin in you, that you just take a moment and you'd confess that to God. If you're unwilling to humble yourself and say, I have sin, or unwilling to take care of that sin, will you just let this pass you by? Because we don't want to treat this as just something that we just go through as a tradition. This is something that we are doing, that we are recognizing, that we have a holy God that is righteous, that is the creator of the world, who has sent his son into the world to die for us. And we are treasuring that this morning. So we will pass out the elements, and I would ask that you would hold on to that. And as you hold on to that, we'll take it together. So I'd ask the ushers to come forward as I pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. And Lord, we have just spent some time just to being amazed by you, that you spoke out into the darkness and you had a redemption plan to save the world even before it began. God, we just stand in awe of you this morning because you are such an incredible God who knew that we needed you, and you're willing to give your son to us. So we might be called son and daughter of God. God, we just thank you in Jesus' name.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.